them pop. Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lock. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Get somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pod from MMA takes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
Ah. Yeah, yeah. Woo! What's up?
What's up with the what's up, MMA takes? What good? What's going on? Sorry for the delay. A little bit of a new switch up here, tech stuff. Don't want to bore you too much. Got a better setup, better system. It's faster. Just needed a little more juice to get things going here, you know? Had some hiccups. We rectified that. So I apologize for the delay. You're going to probably hear this on, see this and hear this on Thursday. Doing this on Wednesday, probably won't get it out. Today's Taco Night. I know it's Taco Tuesday most places. We do Taco Wednesday here. So I don't know if I'll get edit audio up tonight, but you're going to be listening to this sometime. You're going to be looking at this fucking face. You're going to be looking at this fucking face sometimes. We got some fights, though, babe. We got some fights. Decent little fight night, huh? March is stacked. March is like that chick at the bar that you see and you go side-eye. Just stacked. Or if you're a female, a guy with his just dick bulging through his pants and you're just like, gray sweatpant time, just stacked. But this card is a good preamble. Last week, little weak, took some bumps, right? Hit Erin Blanchfield, doubled down on Erin Blanchfield. She saved my night, broke even. I think I'm up $40, is what John Anik said. And that's true to my life. I think maybe 46 in real life. Not much, nothing to brag about, but we up, babe. We up, you know what I mean? And then, so rough card. I didn't recap it. You know, it's already late in the week. We've talked about it. You know, should Erin Blanchfield do this? Go to the Anik and Florian. They had me on pretty much the whole show. Talked about that. Gave some picks for this fight or for this fight night. Go ahead to that. DraftKings, YouTube, subscribe. I know they got a ton of shit on there. There's a lot of stuff you might not want to watch. If you like the Anik and Florian show, just keep liking that motherfucker. You can obviously hit the notification, all that bell shit or whatever the fuck. But if you keep liking it, it'll populate for you so you don't have to weed through the junk. They throw clips up on the Anik and Florian. But yeah, I talked about it. You know, Erin Blanchfield is the truth. And that's what I'm going to say about that. Last thing before we get into the fights, because I know Luke Lopez. Was it Luke? Yeah, Luke Lopez. Well, three things. Six things. I don't know how many things. Luke Lopez. He'll tell you what to skip for because I ramble a lot. Skip till 12 minutes before the fight talk happens. Number one, the mailman situation. So I got what I was looking for, okay? That's cleared up. That's good to go. Funny story. Not really. You know how worked up I was. Just woo, worked up. I go out there. I see him on the street. Bolt out there. Start taking out my trash. My daughter follows me. My little five-year-old Winnie Jamers. She comes out with me. I take the trash out. I'm standing at the end of the driveway. And this guy's just taking a sweet time in the circle. He's not the guy from the day before who I saw in the circle. The guy the day before, dark hair. This guy looked homeless. Beard, weird skin, just homeless, dude, right? And he pulls up and he's handing out the envelopes, right? He got two envelopes for me. One was the one I was looking for. I saw it. I was like, okay, right? And I go, hey, man, I was supposed to get this yesterday, right? Politely, right? You know, I'm not a jerk. He goes, I didn't work yesterday. And just kept it moving. Just boom, drove off. So the altercation, me kind of, you know, didn't happen. But I got what I was looking for. Got the taxes today. That hit the bank account this morning. So we're good to go. You know what I mean? We're all right. We're doing okay. So that, I want to clear that from last week. I know a lot of people enjoyed the story. Unless your name's Luke Lopez, you did not enjoy it. But need to say, we're good. Got it cleared up. Secondly, the shirts. So I am very happy with the designs. I have ordered every shirt I own. Every shirt I made, I've ordered. I'm getting one shipped to me. I believe it ships literally 40 minutes away from me. So I should have it this week. Once I get it this week and I feel the material and it passes my field test, I will release it next week, pay-per-view week, perfect week, right? Those people who won shirts from the contest for me months ago, I have since sent you shirts. I sent you the new Club 1K shirts, okay? So you keep on a look. This is still print on demand, so the shipping isn't going to be as fast. There's only one shipping option. I tried to ship it to you quicker. is what it is. But I got those sent out to you. So if you have one and you have not received a shirt yet, hit me in the DMs. I believe everyone that had DM me prior with your address and sizes, I definitely sent those out. So if I forgot you, whatever, hit me up. I'll get you a shirt. No problem. But again, I don't want to keep talking about the shirts like they're the biggest deal in the world. They are kind of fire. There's some cool designs. And I'm just, you know, just hoping that they're good quality, which I think they are. The website and the company I use, and I vetted them pretty good. And so hopefully they meet my standard here. But we're going to have all new shirts. This shirt's coming back. A lot of people bought this capper shirt. A little different. It's going to have some stuff on the sleeves, something on the back. Value Boys, same thing. That's back. And what else did I do? I think that was it, right? And I got all new shirts. So next week, let's just hope that the goddamn quality is good. All right, let's get into the fights. That's enough talky talk. Let's get to the picky picks here. Just click the ad. Tapology, I love you. I love you, Tapology. But you got to do something about these 500, 600 ads that are on here. The one time when fucking Sonic, whatever it was, took up half the screen. I know you're trying to pay the bills. And I think if you sign up for Tapology, they get away with the ads or something like that. And I think I probably do have an account. I'm just maybe too lazy to sign in. But I mean, come on, Tapology, let's get it together. All right, first fight of the night. Now, my card's a little different, printed this a few days ago, yada, yada. So if you're on Tapology, follow me. Well, that's not the bout order. I apologize. First fight of the night, Joe Selecki, minus 520 versus Carl Deaton, the third. And you fucking better say the third. He is plus 410. So Joe Selecki from my second favorite city in the entire world, first favorite city, Cincinnati, Ohio. Listen, I like my hometown. I love it. I love it here, okay? Second favorite city in the entire world, Wilmington, North Carolina. That is where Joe Selecki's from. And he's a pretty good fighter. Minus 520 good-ish, right? You know, coming off a win over Alex Da Silva, which he looked pretty good in, decision majority. He's your pure grappler, right? He's going to backpack you for fucking five rounds, you know what I mean? He ain't going to get off you. Striking, work in progress, toughness, good. Cardio has met the... Has showed out. I got my phone ringing now. The cardio has been a phone call threw me off. Cardio has been good. Let's just say that. No fancy words. I'm not Luke Thomas. I'm not trying to fancy it up. Should we start over? Should we fucking start over? Listen, Joe Selecki, 4-1 in the UFC. Should he be 5-5-20? No. But he's fighting Carl Deaton the third. 17-5. Interesting dude, 5'6", 33 years old, just getting his shot in the UFC. This guy, American top teen, I've never heard from, never heard of him, right? Had never heard of this name. I looked through 17-5, American top team. You would think with the long hair that he's got somewhere, someone would be talking about him. I honestly have not. He fought Vince Murdoch, lost. He's all over the map with his record. He does like some chokes, decent knockouts. Not the most cleanest guy in the world. It's got some long hair. I put up a picture on the pre-fight thing where you see the hair. I use that picture on purpose. I think it's Joe Selecki. I think it's a decision, possibly sub by Selecki. If you want to go the prop route to try to get a better price, obviously that's there. Carl Deaton, the third, has lost by submission, but he has a pretty good submission game himself. He's short. He's stout. You know, he likes to take down himself. He's powerful-ish just because of his body type. But I wouldn't, like, you know, put him on like a fucking, you know, a sheet of paper and say, this guy's got power for days. Give me Joe Selecki. A little just whelmed for this fight. I like Joe Selecki. There's a lot he can improve on. I know he grapples a ton. He grappled Gregory Rodriguez. When he's not fighting, he's always grappling. So that's a part of his game. I just wish he really would just put it together and be a mixed martial artist. But minus 520 is a tough price to pay. You can put him in a parlay because we got another juicy pick on here. You can put him in a parlay, but the other pick that's a little juicy, I feel way more confident in. So, Joe Selecki's a pick. Shout out Wilmington, North Carolina. Shout out Winnie's Burgers. My daughter's name's Winnie. You go to Wilmington, North Carolina. They have a place called Winnie's Burgers. Unbelievable burgers. Stop in there. Not sponsored. No free ads. All right, next up, Jose Johnson, plus 120 versus Garrett Armfield. This technically is the first fight of the night here on Tapology. Jose Johnson's been around for a while. Garrett Arnfield debuted in the UFC against David Onama. Looked okay in the first round, but then got choked out by an arm triangle choke in the second round. After we see Onama's performances, it's not the best loss in the world that he got choked out by David Onama. I think David Onama's a great talent, but we've seen some holes in his game, some holes in his cardio. Garrett Arnfield's got some wins every kind of which way. His problem, obviously, is losing by submission. Two of his three losses come by submission. You got Jose Johnson, who's got a great triangle, good on the feet. He kind of impressed me a little bit on the contenders. He went 1-1 on the contenders. Fought Ronnie Lawrence, who's an absolute stud. Lost the decision, right? Close-ish fight. He put up a valiant effort. Comes in against Jack Cartwright, who was kind of a prospecty. People liked him, right? And he went out there, almost finished him a few times, but got the decision win. He's got two finishes before the Contender Series fight, which he didn't get the finish on the Contender Series, but alas, we're here. He's only lost to some pretty decent guys. Manny Martinez in the UFC knockout, Ronnie Lawrence decision win on the, or decision loss, excuse me, on the Contender Series. Those are his most two recent losses. I think this kid's well-rounded. He's 27 years old. He's 6 foot. He's big for the division. Long legs, long limbs. Striking is good, not great. Submissions are good, not great, but he can surprise you. Garrett Arnfield's been caught before. Two of three losses has been caught. You know, he's got his neck caught, got his arm caught. What are we going to do here? We're going to hammer Jose Johnson. Hello?
Okay, this is dog.
Okay, there's a dog. Not a dog lock. Not a dog lock, but I need to get the dog, the bounty hunter, in here. Yeah, that's Jose Johnson plus 120. I love it. It's a little baby dog, nothing crazy, but I love that. That is a play for me. I love that. That might be a full unit play as well. No parlays. And I might take him by submission or by some kind of finish as well. Double chance maybe on that side of things. But yeah, Jose Johnson, again, I think this is a good matchup for him. He could get smothered in there. He could... You know, he's 1-1 in the LFA as well. So every kind of big stage, he's been kind of mixed results. So I wouldn't put everything on him, right? If you didn't lose all your money last week, don't put everything on him. But I do like Jose Johnson's spot. All right, next up, Haley Cowan, minus 145 versus All In Perez, plus 125. So All In Perez, Alan Perez, I call her All In. All In Perez, baby. She is from... the infamous samurai fights out of Argentina. These people fight in like a basement of a fucking McDonald's. Like it is, it looks like, I don't know where these people, these fighters are fighting from. It looks terrible. And they don't produce squat for talent. They don't produce it. Haley Cowan, the pretty girl from Baylor, Texas. She went to the University of Baylor. What was she? Was she a gymnast? She was cheerleader. She was something for Baylor. Transition MMA, All In Perez took a fight at Stephanie Egger, got submitted. Haley Cowan barely won a fight on the Contender Series. She looked very good in the beginning, of that, and then just faded. She fought a decent competition, won a split decision. I thought she won the fight, but it was very, you know, she got the contract because she's pretty. Easy on the eyes. It's a new Paige VanZant. We can make money off this girl's great story. Here, I was a collegiate athlete, right, at Baylor. Now I'm fighting. It's a good story, right? You know, she lost to Kelly Clayton, which is an ugly loss. It's an ugly loss. I looked up Kelly Clayton's record when I was doing research on this. 2-2, guillotine choke in the second round. Ugly loss. That wasn't that long ago. That was back in 2020. So, you know, Texas, they got a lot of good camps. Her very first loss was Victoria Lornado, who made it to the UFC. That was her debut in MMA, so that's not too bad of a loss, right? 5-2 in the LFA. That's all she made her bones, all in the LFA, which is good for her, right? She's 31 years old. Time is now. She's got some reach on her, and I like her. I like her at minus 145 here, so I'm gonna take Haley Cowan. I like it by decision as well. Perez is, I know she got submitted by Egger, but I just don't think Cowan is a finisher. I think she's going to piece her up at range, and Perez, I believe, switched camps. I believe she went to, can't think of it. She did go to a different camp, so I think she's going to be a little more prepared, and cardio is going to be on point. I don't see a finish in this. I see Haley Cowan winning by decision. So the play is probably by decision. Haley Cowan, minus 145 is not bad. Now, a little birdie told me that I've been killing it on women's MMA. I've been prefacing that I do not do well in women's MMA. This year so far, I've been killing it. Your boy be killing it. So I like Haley Cowan. This by decision is a smart play. And that's what we do at this show. We do smart plays. All right, next up, Nurolo. Am I pronouncing his name right? Nurolo Aliyev. 8-0, minus 175 versus Rafael Alves, plus 150. So I see a lot of people taking the dog on Alves here. I get it. Big dude for 55. Jack City, right? Good guillotine. Cardio is a mixed bag. When you're filled with that much fucking muscle, it's hard to have this world-class cardio. But he kind of pulls it off. Devastating striker. And he's fighting, I believe, a newcomer to the UFC, Contender Series vet. I believe he won in the Contender Series. Won it on the Contender Series. Went out there. Josh Wick, ground and pound, round one. But I'm just, the fights before that, before Josh Wick, you got 9-2, 8-1, 5-1, and the rest were just scrubs. All pretty good guys, right? And they're all decision wins. He wasn't finishing anyone outside the UFC. Comes in the UFC, finishes them. He's fighting the AMC. He's fighting these Eastern European guys. He's fucking badass dudes. Hard to finish these badass guys, right? Where's he coming from? Tajikistan. Okay, Tajikistan. You know, Tajik Eagle, this guy is a combat sambo veteran. Don't confuse him, Tajikistan, with Dagestan. He's not a Dagestanian combat sambo wrestler or anything like that. He looks a little, you know, those Dagestani guys, they're quick twitch muscle. They're fast as fuck. This guy doesn't seem to have that. He seems a little more labor, a little more patient in there. Takedowns are pretty good. Striking, obviously, a work in progress, but he can grind you out. Minus 175 is a number that I don't hate on him, if I'm being honest with you, because Rafael Alves, even though he's explosive, he can get grinded on. He can get grinded out. And I like it. I like Aliyev in this spot. I'm going to go opposite what people like. People like Alves in the dog spot here. I see Aliyev grinding him out. Now, obviously, we got to be careful because Alves is extremely dangerous round one, beginning half of round two. Dude's got a great chin on him. He showed that in the Dober fight. The guy's got tremendous power. Showed it in all his fights. And he's got a fucking ghillie that will snatch you up. So if Aliyev comes in with a lazy ass fucking takedown, he can get his neck taken real quick. So if you're up already, two fights in, and you get, or three, we've already done three fights, but three fights in and you're up a little bit, you want a live play, you want to mix some numbers in, it wouldn't be bad to just boop, dabble a little bit on Alves by submission, which is probably going to be a decent little number here. But I like Aliyev here, Norilla Aliyev, just to kind of grind him out. Keep it just fucking grimy there. So give me Aliyev. You know, am I going to play it? Maybe, you know, maybe. Contender Series guy, maybe. Maybe I will. Next up, Ode Osborne, plus 145 versus Charles Johnson, minus 170. Hardest fight for me to pick on the card, if I'm being honest with you. Charles Johnson, the guy I just, you know, I can't read. Is he really good? I picked against him against Jimmy Flick. He dominated. Ode Osborne, I thought, looked really smooth and good on the Contender Series. Striking is good. His UFC record's been up and down, up and down. You know, he's fought some really good guys. But, you know, I don't know if I don't know. Sorry, I'm trying to brighten my screen. My screen is really, really dim here, boys. Oh, yeah, we're low. Brighten her up. Anyway, Ode Osborne hasn't really showed up in the UFC. We all can agree that. But everyone in the gym says this dude is fucking good. And I've seen glimpses of him being good. His timing, his stand-up, the way he moves is very good. In the Manel Kopp fight, he was winning the stand-up stages till he got caught. You know what I mean? Charles Johnson's got kind of a funky style. His hands are low, bounces his head around a lot, can mix in takedowns, good cardio, fights for days. In between every camp, he goes out to Thailand, gets training out there, which I think is one of the best things you can do for an up-and-coming fighter. He's 13-3, killed in the LFA, debuted against Muhammad Makhachev. Huh? How can I talk? Let me rinse that one out. Boop, 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 boop.
Dead air.
I had to rinse that one out. That was bad. I originally circled W next to Ode. Plus 145, I think that's a great number. And I still, to this day, think it's a great number. Anybody picking Ode Osborne, I think, is a smart man. But I got to go Charles Johnson here. I just got to go. I think he looked really in flow, he found himself in that last fight against Jimmy Flick, right? UFC debut, short notice against his fucking 21-year-old monster. Cool. You're coming in against, you know, Jimmy Flick, who's retired. He's back, crafty off his back. You fucking stomp him out. You dog walk him. Now he's going against Ode Osborne, which I think is a very good matchup. So again, plus 145 on Ode all day. You know what I mean? But I'm going to go Charles Johnson. I think he can win in the spots Ode can't. I don't think Charles is going to stand up the whole time with Ode. He'll lose. But I think he can win in the grappling. I think he can win in the griminess. I think he can win in the trenches. And I see Charles Johnson winning by decision. Don't know if he can finish Ode. I mean, Ode's been chinny a little bit. He's been caught before. But I like Charles by decision here. Competitive fight, I think. Charles taking over late. But again, plus 145, you can't go wrong. If you're looking for dogs, your dogs ain't barking for you on your side of this. Ode Osman's a real dog to look at, for sure. You know, and I don't want to be one of those fucking on the fence. This is, he can win this way, and he can win this way, blah, blah, blah. And that way, when I lose, I go, see, I told you. No, 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 no. I'm picking Charles Johnson. And fuck it, I'll bet Charles Johnson. But I'm just telling you, the people watching, the people listening, my beautiful, everyone that supports me, Ode Osman's worth a look. You know what I mean? Worth a look. All right, next up, Jordan Levitt. Minus 105 versus Victor Martinez, minus 115. Jordan Levitt coming off the loss of Paddy Pimblett, not very great for himself. Victor Martinez, I believe, coming off the Contender Series guy as well. He's got a loss to Luke Flores and Eric Gonzalez, who's fighting on this card as well. His record's kind of bouncy. You know, 6-0, 9-4, 7-4, blah, blah, blah. Fury FC, very good organization. Combates, he went down and knocked out Luis Lima, who's kind of a journeyman at this point. And then he got a shot against Jacob Rosales in the Contenders, 13-8, who I don't think is the best look in the world as a victory there. Team Ferreira, down at Texas, fighting with Diego Ferreira. Diego Ferreira, great on the ground. You know, cardio a little bit suspect, Diego Ferreira. Victor Martinez, I don't have a ton of tape on him. Obviously saw his Contender Series fight. And I can understand why this fight is the way it is. Jordan Levitt has a way of just kind of freezing people, right? Jordan Levitt, decent on the ground, okay on the feet. You know, Paddy got him on the ground, but other than that, he's usually pretty good. And it's just a straight pick him again. I'm going to go Jordan Levitt here. I'm going to go with I'm going to lean on experience. I think it's just going to be, you know, I think Victor Martinez could bully him a little bit, but can he bully him for three rounds with that cardio? I don't know. And with a pick him spot here, I'm going to go veteran. I'm going to go the vet, you know, coming off a loss. Good to rebound. And again, Jordan Levitt's got this weird thing about him where guys don't fight up to their potential. The stand-up's just weird enough that they kind of pause. The ground game's weird enough. You know, no one wants to get twerked on after he loses. They're terrified of that. So they don't want to lose this guy. You know, a lot at stake. But give me Jordan Levitt. I don't love it. This is a pass for me. Just a straight-up pass. I won't be playing this fight any which way. I can confidently say, because I get a little carried away now that I can live bet sometimes, I'll confidently say, if I've won all my bets and I'm staring at the Jordan Levitt, right? And I got all this live money ready to, you know, and I'm like, well, I don't want to wait for the next fight. I could play it here. I'm not doing it. Okay. Not doing it. Won't do it. Pass for me, but give me Levitt for the official pick. Don't love it. All right. Next up, Gabriela Fernandez, minus 130 versus Jasmine Gervais. I used to be able to pronounce her name, Canadian, Jasmine Gervais. I fucking can't. I'm gonna call her Jasmine. I can't do it. Can't do it. God damn it. I swear, when the mic's not on, I can do it. No, not really. Jasmine's just okay. Looked good in the Contender Series. 1-1 in the UFC. Kay Hansen, no longer in the UFC, decisioned her. And then Natalia Silva dropped an uninspiring performance against Natalia Silva. Then you got Gabriela Fernandez, kind of a cutie. Right, little bit of a cutie coming in from the LFA, only lost to Maria Silva way back when in 2018, and then she's got some good wins here. 3-0 against Qualla Braggs, who is a nice little prospect. Ina Oliveira, 10-9, journey woman, and then Caroline Martinez, guillotine choke second round. Now, what I like about her last two fights is she's finishing, right? She's finishing the last two fights, and that's what she needs to be doing. She's 29? I can't see shit. 29 years old. What is it? 1993? Yeah, 29. Going to be 30 this year. August, Leo, what's up? I like Fernandez here. I just think Jasmine she just doesn't quite do it for me, man. I just feel like when she's in there, there's times where she could be winning and could let it go, and she doesn't. I think Gabriela has looked good in the LFA. I think she looks good with her submissions. I think she's aggressive. She's kind of a dog in there. You got to be careful with the Brazilian women, though, because Brazilian fighters, because a lot of their records are kind of dog shit, but she got her bones in the LFA, and she looked really good. Coming off two submission finishes, that is. I think she's going to give Jasmine problems here. Minus 130, low number, good play, and you're talking to the women whisperer here, huh? I know chicks, man. I know chicks, apparently. Give me Gabriela Fernandez over Jasmine. I have a written down decision here. There could be a late sprinkle, second or third round submission. If Jasmine gets frustrated, Gabriela does have some good chokes, a decent little arm. Yeah, give me your by decision. I'll give you that play. Don't know if I love that prop, but give me Gabriela Fernandez at minus 130. Gorgeous number. All right, next up, Eric Gonzalez, plus 160 versus Trevor Peak, 7-0, and he is minus 190. All right, boys. All right. So, Johnny Anik, first off, let me break down the fight before I get to that. Eric Gonzalez never impressed me. Outside the UFC, currently in the UFC, never impressed me. Got a little bit of a chin issue. Trevor Peak, coming off the contender series, right? 7-0, seven finishes. He has been out in the first round, right? Beaten decent competition. Knocked out Calmer Worthy, who hasn't? Knocked out Warren Smith, who hasn't? Beat David Robbins. That's a good win. Got him in the first round. Malik Lewis, his last time out, was a good win. Ground and pound round two. This guy's just nuts and bolts and just tough, right? He's coming from Alabama. Alabama tough, right? Obviously, you got to worry about cardio, but I don't think it matters against Eric Gonzalez. I think he's going to rough him up. So Trevor Peak is my pick. Don't slime forever. That's number one. Slimeball candidate number one. Now, John Anik, who I owe everything to, a good friend of mine, I use the verbiage, hammer it, right? That's what I use. Dave Portner, who I love Dave Portner, about 2-3 years ago, whenever COVID was, my timeline's off. He did stock markets and he had a green hammer and he said, hammer everything, right? I love that. There's a necklace over here with a green hammer on it. So I'm going to give you guys, starting off, prop bets, prop only for right now. Maybe I'll mix it up. I can't find a prop I like. Green hammer bet. Whew. You see this? Your boy's doing work. This is MMA Takes, Big Gun Brian Petrie's first ever green hammer bet. And that is Trevor Peak inside the distance. And what the green hammer means is you hammer the shit out of it. You take your card note. You take your mortgage payment. You take your college tuition, responsibly, of course. And you put it all on the green hammer bet. Trevor Peak inside the distance. Crazy plus number, or excuse me, minus number, I'm sure. And then if you want to get a little baby green hammer, your boy's bringing out fucking props now. Baby green hammer, Trevor Peak by knockout. That's probably how he's going to get it done. Bet at your risk. Maybe not do the kid's college tuition with a knockout, but inside the distance, it's a fat number. And put a fat amount of money on it, baby. First ever green hammer, baby. The money hammer. Let's fucking go. Okay? Trevor Peak, slimeball candidate number one. All right, Mike Malott. By the way, Kenny and John did a great little run with Mike Malott on the Anakin Florian. You got to go see that. DraftKings YouTube. Mike Malott, 8-1-1 versus Johan Lennes, 9-1. Plus 190, Malott minus 225. So right off the bat. Who do you think the slime forever is for? Do you think it's Johan Lennes? Nah. Two Canadian bangers. Mike Malott, this is a guy who had a promising career. He's up and down. He's been with Team Alpha Male forever. Looked great his last time out. Got buzzed a little bit by Mickey Gall, but then slept Mickey Gall. He's got big time power, got good wrestling, grappling okay. But he comes from a great camp, and he's 31 years old, and he just 8-1-1. His injuries mount up, and he just doesn't fight enough. Johan, though, this guy comes in, he's a one-trick pony. He's got one style, and that is just, I'm going to land my right hand, and you're going to fall. I don't think Malott's going to fall. I don't think he's getting hit with it. Johan has no cardio. He could be mixing it up. He could be changing it up. Yeah, sure, but he barely squeaked by Darren Weeks, which I don't think he did. His debut, he looked terrible. No cardio. Give me Mike Malott, slimeball cannon number one, and... Because, listen, I could do it to Tatiana. I'm not going to do it. Mike Malott, mortal lock, baby. That's a mortal lock.
Demon. The demon's here, baby. And it's Mike Malott.
All right. Sorry for scaring all the kids with the demon voice, but it had to be done. Woo! Yeah, I just think Malott runs through him. And if he loses, that's on me. Because Johan does have power, so, you know, but again, I'm not going to give you Tatiana Suarez as a lock. I ain't a chump. Tatiana Suarez is next, minus 750 versus Montana De La Rosa. I've been a Tatiana Suarez fan since The Ultimate Fighter. I've been a fan of her since she ragged old Carla Esparza. She's the truth. Anybody with MMA eyes, anybody with a brain knows that Tatiana Suarez at 115 is a problem. She's at 125 for this fight, right? She's a problem. Long arms, long legs. Not the tallest girl. She's 5'5", but long limbs. Striking is work in progress. Grappling, the best, I think, in women's MMA. That's a bold statement, but I think it's close. I mean, Mackenzie Dern's got great jiu-jitsu, but I think Tatiana Suarez has got the better grappling, right? Is that a hot take? I don't think so, right? Am I throwing hot takes out there? Listen, Suarez, I think 4 years away is the only thing that scares you. And I think that's the only reason she's not minus 1,000 here. Montana De La Rosa, very easy on the eyes. I love her name, Montana De La Rosa. It's fun to say. I love to meet her in person. I'm married. She's married. Let's just shake hands, right? Beautiful gal. But, you know, inconsistency kills her. She has a good grappling game herself. Her striking is pretty much non-existent. She's tough, though. She doesn't get out of there. She doesn't roll over for anybody. Tatiana Suarez says this is a perfect fight for her to come back. Doesn't have to cut all that weight to 115 and to see what she's got. You know, she's dating, engaged, married to Patchy Mix, who's a great fighter in Bellator. Patchy Mix has got great grappling, great cardio, great submission, or great guillotine chokes, all kind of chokes. Very good fighter. If she's been training with him for 4 years in California, I believe, there's going to be no problem. I think she's at Extreme Couture too, but I think she lives in California. I could be wrong about that. Either way, 4 years away, maybe a little rusty on the striking. Striking is all about timing, but I think she's going to take De La Rosa down, dominate her on top. I love Tatiana Suarez here. Minus 750, minus 7,000. Slime forever right there, baby. All right, next up, Augusto Sakai, minus 125 versus Dontell Mays, plus 105. Dog lock.
Hello? Okay, this is dog.
Lock him up, baby. Dog lock. Dontell Mays, my dog, right? Dog lock of the week. I put him an extra unit on the Anthony Florian with him when he was just a pick him. Now he's a dog. I checked before I recorded this. I have it written down, plus 105. It's currently plus 115. Money is coming on Sakai. My MMA Twitter bros, the guys I like, the guys I follow, a lot of early leans are on Sakai here. The guy's four straight losses, four straight finishes. Do you guys not remember Dontell Mays is a wrestling guru now? The guy will take you fucking down. He bought wrestling shoes in a singlet and said, yo, I got cardio now, right? Training with John Jones. John Jones getting ready for next week. I love this spot for Dontell. I love that they're doubting him. I think he can get Sakai out of there. I think it's a TKO on the ground. I think he takes Sakai down. I think Sakai is stand-ups. Okay, Dontell Mays is 6'6". I'm not worried about Dontell getting caught in the feet. Sakai really submissions are non-existent. He's going to get put on his back. Obviously, he knows, hey, I'm on a 4-5 skid. My job's on the line here. I need to fix this. But I do think Dontell's takedowns and his grappling are good. I think he's strong in there. I think his leverage is there. You're giving me plus number on it. I fucking love it. Slimeball candidate number 3 right there, babe. Plus money slimeball candidate. That's how confident I am. But lock him up. I like Dontell Mays in this spot right here, man. He does. He came from a striking background. When I first saw him fight, I mentioned on the Anthony Florian, I was there at his first MMA fight, destroyed the guy. And everyone was afraid of this guy in Kentucky. He's from Louisville, fought Northern Kentucky multiple times. And there's a place like middle of nowhere in Kentucky where everybody from Cincinnati and Indiana, everything drove down. but he fought locally a lot. People were afraid of him, scared of him, right? And he had some big power, right? It was not the best thing in the world to watch him strike, but he is good. He's coming off of fighting an Egyptian Olympic wrestler who was pissing hot, pissing his pants hot. The Egyptian guy, who I'm not even going to try to pronounce, right? He's coming off a split decision loss to him, looked pretty good, just was giving up too many takedowns. I think he's taking Sakai down, not letting him up, beating the shit out of him, beating his brains in. Let's go Dontell Mays, and let's go fucking, not a green hammer bet, let's go fucking by TKO as well. A lot of people like by submission. The submission props apparently a crazy plus number. Wouldn't be surprised if Dontell takes a neck, but shout out Paul Shags, D1 Dontell. Give me him. Dog lock. Dog lock, babe. That's it. By the way, my send him home was Trevor Peak, which I don't think I said. So sorry about that. All right, main event, Andre Muniz versus Brendan Allen. 23-4 for Andre Muniz. Brendan Allen is 20-5. This fight's very hard for me to pick because Andre Muniz is a very talented fighter, but he's limited. He's a specialist, right? And Brendan Allen is good on the ground. His biggest issue has been guys that knock him out. He's been TKO'd. He's been KO'd a lot, right? But on the ground, he's been good, but he's never fought a guy like Muniz. Muniz is a well-put-together guy. He is drinking Paulo Costa's secret juice. These guys are thick as thieves. He is fucking jacked, right? Brennan Allen, good prospect, still very young. People rave about him in the room. But what, I mean, what are we, what's going to happen here? I picked Muniz, minus 205. I didn't give you the lines. Minus 205, Muniz, plus 175, Allen. Values on Allen. Value boys will back Allen. Kenny Florian picked Allen. Spoiler alert. I can see why. Allen has more ways to win. He can piece him up on the feet. If he can avoid any submissions on the ground, Muniz will get tired eventually. But Muniz, my biggest complaint in Uriah Hall fight, he took Uriah Hall down a million times. He didn't strike enough. He was looking for too many submissions and took his back a million times. And Hall, or Uriah Hall, did not give up anything. Brennan Allen is crafty on the ground. He's expecting a ground fight. He wants to box him up. Muniz does have good kicks. Boxing is not great, but he will exchange, which could be a problem for him. But I do think he has a really good entry double, really powerful takedown in round one. He's a strong dude. He'll get that takedown in round one. Brennan Allen does not have great takedown defense. He likes to play on the ground. Do you want to play on the ground with a guy like this? Probably not. So that's where that leads me to Muniz. I'm not confident in it. I'm not putting him any parlays. It's a nice little number there, 205. It could really smooth out some people's parlays, but you know, I don't trust it. Maybe by sub, see what the sub prop is. Brennan Allen's only been sub once. That was by Trevin Giles back in 2018. So it's like the guy's just giving up subs. But Andre Muniz is a specialist, man. So, yeah, I'm good to go, Muniz. I don't fucking love it. I hate saying that. You know what? I hate listening to podcasts, MMA pick'em podcasts, or even like NFL pick'em, and people are just like, oh, I hate this game. I hate this player. And every single game or fight's like, oh, I hate it. I'm not going to play. No, we got to play something, right? Quit hating every fight. Find your lane. Find something. Quit complaining about the fight and go with it. And I feel like I've been doing that a lot today. So I feel like I'm a hypocrite, so I'm not going to do that. Love this fight. Give me Muniz. Buy sub. Yeah, we're going to do that. Main event, Nikita Krylov, minus 165 versus Ryan Spann, plus 140. Very interesting line here. Spann as a dog surprised me. Listen, Spann is inconsistent. His fight IQ is not good, but I really feel like his last few fights, he's dialed in. I truly do. I think he's finally getting it. And Nikita Krylov's been around for fucking ever. And his biggest, I mean, really the biggest blemish on, or the biggest concern with him is getting submitted. He gets submitted by fucking everybody. So he's been knocked out one time in 38 fights. This will be his 39th fight. Ryan Spann has big power, but big power sets up good takedowns and sets up that fucking guillotine choke. I keep thinking about that guillotine choke. I won't stop thinking about it. So I got to go Spann by submission. That's the play. Spann by submission, guillotine in particular. I think he's going to catch Nikita. I think he's a big, strong, powerful dude. Might buzz Nikita on the feet. Nikita might rush a takedown, whatever. Spann's going to get a choke. Or Spann's going to take him down. And when Nikita tries to get to his feet, cage walk, whatever, Spann's going to jump the choke. My only concern is the cardio. Nikita's been in there forever. 2012, he's been fighting. 11 years, right? Spann has had cardio issues. He completely gassed against Sam Alvey in that fight. A lot of people thought maybe he lost. I'm banking on the fact that he finally gets it. I'm banking on the fact that this dude wants it more than ever now. He's in the conversation. Light heavyweight is wide open, and this dude is in the serious conversation for it. So with that being said, underdog Spann. If Nikita Krylov was a dog here, I definitely look at Nikita, because Nikita is not going to go away easy unless you catch a neck or some kind of submission, because he just doesn't train submission defense, I guess. But he's a hard-nosed dude. So Nikita at a plus money would be nice too, but plus 140 is what I got him at. Yeah, we're going to go Spann here. Boom. That's it. That's the pod. Let's wrap some things up. Put a bow on it. Mortal Lock, Mike Malott, Dog Lock, Dante May, send him home, Trevor Peak, Slime Ball Parlay. What we're all here for, right? What we're all fucking here for. All right. First leg, Mike Malott, right? Now, listen, a lot of people aren't going to be on the Malott side here. I think he's overpriced, unproven. I get it. But minus 225, he's going to kick off the parlay. He loses, we could always re-up, right? This is the main card here. There's four more fights after, and we find our spots. Mike Malott, parlay leg number one. Did I? Hold on. Wait a second. Let me check the old book, because I'm old school. Let me check the old book. All right. Yep. Got it. Okay. Mike Malott, leg one. Tatiana Suarez, leg two. I know, Brian, she's 750. She's not giving you any value. Correct. But the follow-up to that, Dante Mays at plus 115. You're looking at plus 257. I just burped. Sorry. 257. So you got Tatiana Suarez, Mike Malott, Dante Mays. You got a 750. You got a dog. You got a guy who might be overpriced. That's a slime ball parlay. Plus 257. And then the Green Hammer. The Green Hammer bet. Trevor Peak inside the distance. By knockout up for Baby Hammer. Green Hammer bet. Trevor Peak inside the distance. All right, that's it. That's the show. I'm sweating. Wife's making tacos. Your boy's getting hot. We got to go. Good show. Good energy, everybody, huh? There's no one here. I produce the show. I'm staring at my board. Follow me on Brian Petrie MMA on everything. IG, Twitter. I've been off of social media a little bit this week, so if you've messaged me or whatever and I didn't get right back to you or whatever, tweet at me, blah, blah. Been a little off it, you know, trying to figure out, you know, fix what was the problem. But that's it. Brian Petrie MMA on everything. Subscribe to that fucking channel, Club 1K, baby. And again, next, the whole March, man. March, stacked.
Let's make some picks with our man, Brian Petrie. Good. Motherfuckers. Perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Good. Let's make some picks with our man, Brian Petrie.